Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. It is Wednesday, October 27th, 2010. It is 9:30 a.m. And that is a festive Halloween sweater, I must say. That's beautiful. How are you, Carla?
I'm good.
It's a beautiful fall day, isn't it?
It is.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. A quorum is present, and we will proceed, starting with communications. Can you please read the title for item number 1376?
Request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding the significance of baseball to American culture. Mr. Long called. He has a scheduling conflict and is not able to make it.
Okay. Can you please read the communications item number 1377?
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding universal health care for all Oregonians and Oregon Legislature Healthy Kids.
Hi. Welcome. Glad you're here.
All right. Well, on Healthy Kids, I found out that there's some House District 24 race where the incumbent actually tried to cancel the 1% insurance tax, so I don't know what the situation is with Healthy Kids, whether we're going to have 95% of all children covered for health care by January 2011. Now, and another issue is, I like this idea of Oregon developing an industry and making what they call the portable MRI, or what they call battlefield MRI. It's an MRI where the MRI is not 3 feet in diameter, it's more like 6 inches. Some of this research is done in Colorado. Tektronix used to do a lot of stuff, medical research, you know, and oscilloscopes and other things, and to resurrect the Tektronix years. Now, the reason why this concerns me, 5 years ago when my son was nine, the HMO thought my son had testicular cancer. And so they did exploratory surgery and cut out more than half of one of my son's testicles. There was no cancer. So sometimes I question whether people should use surgery as a way to investigate cancers inside the body. Now, this thing is called they actually have another thing called virtual colostomy, where they check the colon with an MRI, and it's digitized and then processed by fractal mathematics, where they claim that they can actually spot cancers better than an X-ray. And people can stay under an MRI a lot longer than they can under an X-ray machine. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good thing that Oregon should get into if, in the next 4 years, Oregon has a theme about health medicine, the medical industry, alternative forms of medicine, covering all children for health care, and probably trying to cover adults for health care. And I'm very counterculture. I don't necessarily think having unlimited surgical operations like my son had is a good idea. And sometimes people, maybe they need to change their lifestyle. Maybe people need to stop smoking so much or stop drinking so much. I mean, the medical industry is not a miracle worker. These things are just to spot diseases early and try to surgically prevent them from spreading, which is why the HMO tried to do this with my son. But I question whether the surgical method for finding cancer is the best, and maybe there are other ways to do that. So I'd like to talk about medicine maybe in January 2011, see how Healthy Kids is going.
Great. Well, thank you, sir, very much for your testimony.
And may I just I'd like to comment that, indeed, children can sign up for health care, and I'll highlight the link on my blog so that we do want to get 95% of all children signed up for the Healthy Kids program. Thank you for reminding us.
You heard what I said, though.
Carla, can you please read the title for 1378?
Request of Willie C. Jones to address council regarding how the city tows cars and how blacks are not part of the Portland art system.
Mr. Jones? Okay. Can you please read the title for item number 1379?
Request of Frank Spillers to address council regarding cell phone antennas being installed next to homes, schools, and other sensitive community locations. He and Allison have canceled. They're working with Commissioner Fritz's office.
Okay. Can you please read the title for item number 1380?
Request of Allison Gavine to address council regarding cell phone antennas being installed next to homes, schools, and other sensitive community locations.
Okay. That gets us to the consent agenda. Item number 1388 will be heard in next week's regular agenda as a agenda item. And 1404 is referred back to the auditor's office. Would you like to read those titles?
1388, update the residential franchise customer cap to reflect 40% of the customer base. And 1404, approve council minutes for calendar years 2007, 2008, and 2009.
Okay. And is there anyone else that wishes to pull any item from the consent agenda? Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That gets us to a ordinance, non-emergency ordinance, time certain 9:30. Can you please read the title for 1381?
Amend and extend an intergovernmental agreement with the Port of Portland for planning services to prepare a West Hayden Island plan and possible annexation proposal and provide for payment.
This is an update to the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Portland and the Port to continue the work on the West Hayden Island project. We first approved this IGA in May 2009, kicking off phase one of this project. Since then, the Council has passed a resolution directing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to begin phase two and to develop a legislative proposal for annexation of the West Hayden Island area to the City. The intent of this Council action is to protect at least 500 acres as open space and identify no more than 300 acres of future deep water marine terminal development. This IGA paves the way for that work. In the coming weeks, we'll be announcing the membership of the advisory committee will guide the phase two of this work. We'll also be scheduling regular council work sessions to keep the council informed of the further study and analysis that we've asked for. Is Eric here? Eric, come on up.
Good morning. My name is Eric Engstrom, here representing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As the mayor said, this is a follow-up item from some actions you've already taken. In June, we updated the same IGA just to get us over the fiscal year. In July, you considered a resolution which outlined our next steps and our work plan for the coming year. This intergovernmental agreement amendment then just carries amends the previous IGA to incorporate the additional work necessary to accomplish the instructions you gave us in the resolution in July. There are a couple new elements to that work plan. New advisory committee. As the mayor mentioned, a number of work sessions with the City Council as well as the Port Commission will be scheduled. There are a number of additional studies that you requested through that resolution, which are listed on the back of that color diagram. That's an outline of our specific consultant studies that we're working on. We will be developing a concept plan under the parameters that the mayor outlined. Community involvement, I want to mention, our plans for that, in addition to the advisory committee, will be moving forward with a community involvement summit meeting related to this project where we'll have a panel discussion about what are some specific methods we could use to keep people informed and involved as we go forward, and that'll be probably scheduled in the November timeframe. We will the total amount of the IGA changed by $169,000, so the Port has increased the funding to reflect the additional work that you asked for. So the total funding from the Port for this now is for both years comes to $931,000. I did have one housekeeping amendment that was requested, and I understand from the Port of Portland that this is amenable to them. On page 3, at the top of the page, the first paragraph, the last sentence says, draft plans should be presented to the public, and the request was to change that to will be. So both parties are amenable to that, and we can do that.
We'll consider that a Scribner's amendment. Go ahead.
That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions,
questions from council. All right.
What's approximate timeline for completing?
We hope to come back with a final package for your consideration by the end of 2011. So about a year from now, or a little over a year from now.
Any other discussions with Eric? All right. Is anyone signed up?
Yes, we have one person, Marianne Schwab.
Marianne, please come forward. You win the award for best holiday sweater.
Well, in this room, the public sometimes gets treated and the
deep pockets get tricked. It's trick or treat.
I think I understand that.
We can see it on replay tonight, Mayor, just
yeah.
In case.
I'll take my mask off. Good morning, gentlemen and Amanda. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this important issue of West Hayden Island. As a community activist, you know that lots of emails come my way, and I do know, in fact, that the Sierra Club, the Audubon Society, and the Native American Indians are very concerned about the use of those 300 acres for the terminals. In respect to the resolution that you passed in July 2010, spending $169,000 to finish the West Hayden Sunning is surprising to me, especially when knowing the Port of Portland has already spent $931,000. At some point in time, I hope these highly paid West Island Port of Portland consultants will take time to actively listen to Jim Howe's report on the need for passenger light rail across the CRC and then light rail for freight to get out there. Talking with Jim, he doesn't think there's enough length of space to even access it with a railroad and to move your freight. And speaking of the CRC, another comment he made is we've already spent $350 billion on studies on this bridge, and yet the Hoover Dam Bridge only cost $240 million. I would really like everyone to sharpen their pencils really sharp so that the accountability is here and we really know our dollars are spent wisely. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate your testimony. Carla, unless there's additional discussion, then this will move to I'm waiting. Is there any additional discussion?
Yes, I'd like to discuss it. Basically because everybody's here, and I really appreciate the good work that's gone into this, particularly Mayor Adams for your leadership, Eric Engstrom, Phil Nemeny, and Rachel Hoy in the Planning Bureau have done really good work, as has Amy Ruiz in your office, and Bayer of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, and Patty Howard in my office. Susie Lassen in the port has been really helpful, and thank you so much for the port's engagement in this and indeed for funding most of the cost. Although it's noted that the Office of Healthy Working Rivers is not receiving funding from this, and we are responsible in this intergovernmental agreement for evaluating the public benefits of the various proposals. And so I'm very excited about the Office of Healthy Working Rivers' engagement in this process. And just to summarize where we're at, after the end of phase one, after a year of hard work, the community working group wasn't able to make a recommendation based on the information given. And that was the reason that we, the council, gave specific directions and recommendations for this phase two planning work, which this IGA spells out. Nothing in this agreement is intended to commit the city to annex West Hayden Island, limit or initiate changes to the zoning code, or predetermine the outcome of any annexation proceedings or legislative land use proceedings. There's a lot of work still to be done and a lot of community engagement, and I appreciate the emphasis on the community outreach, and it needs to be a true engagement with opportunities for citizens to affect the decisions made, and I believe that it will be. So I know that it's going to be an open and objective dialogue, that the information required to meet the intent of the resolution for phase two will have draft documents and information presented to the public, as was just noted, in a comprehensive, objective, and neutral manner. And just noting that selection of a facilitator who embodies the principle will be crucial to this effort. I'm very pleased to see that this work plan is responsive to the Council's direction, and again, thank you to all concerned.
I want to thank staff, and especially Amy Ruiz on my staff, and Eric Instrom, and the entire team, including the Office of Health of Working Rivers. This issue has been dodged by previous city councils for, what, over 35 years? And we're on a trajectory to make a decision one way or another, as you say, about West Haddon Island's future. And it's more than about time. So happy to move this on to a second reading next week. I'm out of practice. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1382?
That's a 1015 time certain.
Oh, yeah. Let's move to, let's not, do you want to do 1405 or you want to wait?
Yeah.
So you want to wait? No problem.
I think you do 1383. It's not a
that is
time certain.
Oh, you're right. Can you please do the title for emergency ordinance item number 1383? 1383, yeah.
That's part of the 1015 time certain.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Led me astray. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1406?
1406, sorry. Assess benefited properties for street improvements in the Northeast 87th Avenue and Columbia Boulevard Local Improvement District. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1406 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1407?
Assess benefited properties for street and bridge improvements in the Northeast 92nd Drive Local Improvement District. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thanks to Andrew Abbey for all his good work on street improvements and to the testimony that we received. This is on the assessment for the work that's been done, and so it's appropriate to support it. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1407 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1411?
Amend contract with CH2M Hill for additional application software development on the wet weather flow primary treatment system at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant, project number E05512. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading, item number 1412?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire a certain permanent easement and other real property interests necessary for construction of the East Lentz Floodplain Restoration Project, number E08464, through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1412 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1413?
Authorize additional change order authority to the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services for his or his designee for the Portsmouth Force Main Segment 2 construction contract project number E09039. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1413 is approved. I'm looking for, can you please read the title, first reading of 1409?
Authorize a one-time exception to the Human Resources Administrative Rule 6.03 to allow carryover of vacation leave in excess of the two-year maximum accrual.
Maybe I was premature. Is there anyone from HR here to discuss this? Mm-hmm. We are
ahead of time.
We're ahead of time. Do we have anyone from OMF here to talk about bonds? Okay. Did I do? So can did we do 1403? Let's do 1403. Oh, sorry. So we're right. Let's have a 10-minute break. We're recessed for 10 minutes.
It's 10:15. Very, 15.
Is it 10:15?
We're recessed for 30. 15. Yeah, 25 minutes. Something like that.
Isn't
yeah.
that awesome?
That should be an inspirational. And a great handout. A handout you can actually understand. Amanda, you got a minute? Yeah. No. 25 minutes. Yeah. Good now. What's that?
I'll catch you.
City Council will come back from recess. Carla, can you please call the roll to kill a little time here?
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. Are the folks that are presenting... Oh, there she is. All right. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance time certain at 10:15, item number 1382?
Ratify a successor labor agreement with Portland Firefighters Association for terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the bargaining unit.
Hi, Ms. Deckard. How are you?
I'm fine. For the record, my name is Yvonne Deckard, and I'm the Director for the Bureau of Human Resources. Excuse me. What you have before you is the PFFA labor agreement that we've actually TA'd and that the members of the PFFA have
actually... Could I just ask you not to use so many acronyms so that people watching at home...
Firefighters.
And the TA is...
Tentative agreement.
Thank you. I know you've been doing this for many months.
Move the microphone closer. Closer.
Really?
Closer, yeah.
Oh, it sounds so loud.
Yeah.
Okay. That we've reached tentative agreement with the Portland Firefighters. The Portland Firefighters Union have actually ratified the agreement, and I'm here to talk with you about the terms of that agreement and ask for your support for the agreement. The agreement is a two-year agreement, and the economic piece of the agreement is that it's a zero COLA increase in the first year and a floor of one and a ceiling of five in the second year. We were also able to make the administrative change to the work week when we reduced from 56-hour work week to a 53-hour work week. It wasn't calculated correctly, and then when we reduced from 53 hours, that error in calculation continued to happen. By correcting this error in calculation, it actually results in efficiencies in scheduling for the Bureau, and it assists them in eliminating potential overstaffing. It will allow the Bureau to get the appropriate staff in the right places to better serve the public. It will ensure that staff are placed in the right position, thereby reducing the number of grievances and associated cost of grievances. And it will maximize the use of the traveler's pool that will allow the Bureau to control its overtime cost. We were able to also settle two grievances as a part of this negotiation, which was the payroll banking grievance and the deferred holiday grievance. We also gave their 40-hour a week for firefighters an additional floating holiday. And we moved the call shift from time and a quarter or time, well, from time and a quarter to time and a half. Basically, really what the firefighters were working was about 1.35 for their call shift. And then once they hit the FLSA standard, they automatically shifted to time and a half. This just makes that incremental change where they once they go into overtime on the call shift, they're always at time and a half. I think this is a good agreement for the city. I think the Bureau did get some efficiencies. I think the savings that we have with the zero cost of living increase is a balanced deal for the city, and I would recommend that council ratify this agreement.
Discussion with council.
So the 56 versus 53 hours, we did that in previous agreement, and you're saying we're just dealing with some of the accounting around that? Does this agreement do that?
No. Years ago, we actually moved from 56 hours to 53. And then somewhere around 2000, we moved from, or 2002, early 2000, we moved from 53. And when we calculated it, it was miscalculated when the unit moved from 56 to 53. It should have been a different number once you calculated it under the FLSA standard. And so we've actually corrected that calculation.
Any other discussion?
Why is it a two-year agreement, not a three? I thought we were trying to keep everybody on the same schedule.
Well, initially, when we started negotiating, we were actually wanting to try to get everybody on a two-year agreement. And then council, at that point, in our first executive session, agreed that it should be 2 or 3 years and directed me to negotiate whatever was appropriate given the unit. With this particular unit, this is the first unit, major unit, that we reached agreement with. And since they were the first out of the box, out of the gate, we actually went with a two-year agreement.
The reasons many, many, many years ago for trying to get all the contracts up at the same time, the reason for that was, and there's some sort of change in the contextual environment that...
Yes. Initially, we actually... council asked me this question. I provided some written information to you, I would say back in June or July. But initially, the reason we actually put all of the contracts on the same year was because initially we thought we were going to have a problem with health care. Our health care costs were going out of control. We had just lost an interest arbitration with PPA they actually were able to go out on their own as far as health care. We wanted to see if we could glean some savings by instituting a wellness program. And we really thought that we wanted to get out of this situation of leapfrogging around health care costs by having the contract staggered. And so what we wanted to do was to actually bring them all together so that we would be able to negotiate the health care piece at one time and then restagger them. I would recommend to the council that you want your agreements staggered. You don't want them all at one time. It is very difficult to negotiate them all at one time. It is a huge staffing burden to try to negotiate them, but you also put yourself in a position where if you are having problems getting successor agreements, you then face interest arbitration with all of your units at one time, as well as potential strikes with all of your units at one time, thereby shutting down the city. And so there is drawback to having them all open at one time.
So the original reason around...
Was health care,
and... that's now why, given the work on healthcare, you believe that staggering them for the reasons you mentioned makes more sense.
Yes.
Any other discussion from council? How many people have... Thank you. Anyone signed up?
No one signed up.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right. This is an emergency ordinance. Please call the vote.
Leonard?
I appreciate the work that has gone into this from both sides, Jim Forquet and his members at the bargaining table for the Portland Firefighters Association, John Klum and his staff, including Jack Graham, Division Chief John Knorr, who's sitting out here, and Jack is back there as well, Aaron Johnson from my office, and especially Yvonne and her staff, who have done really a great job on this contract, as you have on others that we have had before us to vote on. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for all your work. Aye.
Fish.
I'm particularly pleased that some grievances were resolved as part of the contract negotiation, because I know from my experience how challenging that can be. So, Randy, congratulations for your leadership on this and your team, and delighted to support this agreement. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank, starting with the Bureau of Human Resources, Yvonne Deckard, Anna Canwit, and others, and also to thank Portland Fire and Rescue and the Portland Firefighters Association. This is a, I think it's a fair agreement, and I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to congratulate Fire Commissioner Randy Leonard, thank the excellent Fire Bureau team, superb, thank the Firefighters Association for what were difficult negotiations but constructive and led to this agreement. I want to thank Yvonne Deckard and her team for the improvements that are contained into this contract, and it's great to have it done. Aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1383?
Ratify a successor labor agreement with the City of Portland Professional Employees Association for terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the bargaining unit.
once again, I'm here today and along with Patrick. Patrick was the chief spokesperson for the COPIA contract labor agreement, which is the City of Portland Professional
Employees.
Employees. This is a three-year agreement, and the first year of the agreement is zero cost of living, and then for years two and three is a floor of 1% and a ceiling of 5%. One of the main issues that existed with this particular labor unit was that they have a professional development fund that they were that's been very important to them, that bureaus actually contribute to for training purposes. We were, because of some of our bureaus and some of the cuts that they've had to take, this was going to be very difficult for them to continue to contribute to this fund. And so we came up with a very, I think, creative solution to this. One, in recognition of the continued cuts that the city has been taking, COPIA agreed that if we would continue the fund, that we would begin it in year two of this labor agreement. However, if the city continued to take a 4% cut across the general fund, across the board of the general fund, that they would actually then postpone the implementation of this development fund, and it would then move to year three. And then for the Bureau Development Services, who has taken tremendous cuts, that for their representatives in that bureau, that the union would be willing to consider picking up and making the contribution for those employees. One of the important issues for the city was background checks. These employees work in, they are part of our IT staff that are assigned to the police bureau and other critical areas, and we are now mandated to background check. We were able to sit down with the union and work out an agreement of if an employee was to fail a background check and they weren't eligible for layoff, that we would actually make other efforts to place them in other city positions that they could participate in. This unit did, we did give them the day after Thanksgiving as an additional holiday, and those are the basic highlights of this particular agreement.
2 years? Is it two?
It's a three-year contract.
Additional discussion or any discussion from council? Has anyone signed up for?
No one signed up.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, will you please call the vote on emergency ordinance item number 1382?
Leonard?
Sorry, 1383.
Leonard.
Well, I know that this is one of the tougher contracts. The City of Portland Professional Employees Association, COPIA, had endured a number of layoffs due to the budget reductions at the Bureau of Development Services. So I particularly appreciate the work that had to go into this agreement, given the atmosphere around which you were making the changes to the agreement. So I want to thank Mark Bellow, the president of COPIA. He's been in my office a lot in the last couple of years because of what's happened to Bureau of Development Services, and certainly Patrick and Yvonne, again, thank you for your good work on this. Aye.
Fritz.
I, too, want to thank you and outgoing COPIA President Mark Bellow for all of your good work. This has been a difficult process, and you've worked through it well. I know that it has been tough times, so this agreement means a lot to both sides to get it worked out. And I want to highlight the policy that was in practice and continues concerning conversion of sick time, which provides an incentive allowing COPIA employees to convert a limited amount of sick leave into vacation leave under certain circumstances. I'd like to consider this in the next contract negotiations to consider this policy citywide, because it does address sick leave abuse and provides an incentive to employees who show up to work. And it also provides incentive for participation in the wellness program, which you mentioned, Yvonne, that we want to provide both opportunities and incentives for employees to be well, do their work, and avoid taking sick time to the extent that's possible. So thank you very much for your work on this. Aye.
Fish.
You know, Yvonne, before I got elected, I used to be involved in labor relations, and, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I remember the days when you had a single employer and a single union partner and you negotiated an agreement. And as I've considered how we do things at the city with the five of us plus all of these agreements plus all the complexity, it's really quite extraordinary. So I think this is a moment for me to thank you for the way you've engaged the whole council in this process, because you not only had to sort of find the sweet spot with our labor partners, but frankly, you had to bring the council together around a consensus about how to proceed, and I know how challenging that was. So I appreciate the leadership you and your team have shown throughout the labor process, and as someone who used to be in the trenches doing this work, I have to say I'm quite impressed. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I again want to thank Bureau of Human Resources for their leadership, and Mark Bellow and the COPIA Association, Professional Employee Association. I do think that these were some very vexing issues around professional development, which is essential for these most people in these positions, is they need to have professional development as part of maintaining a licensure or whatever. So it's important that we try to accommodate that and encourage that, and I think the creative solution you did, I think, is a good one. And I also think the issues around background checks and the painful issue around layoffs are very tough to deal with. So I do appreciate coming to consensus on this, and pleased to support this agreement. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to acknowledge that the service areas of the city that include members of COPIA, of the Professional Employees Association, have experienced significant layoffs because of our financial situation, both in the Bureau of Development Services and in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. So seeking a new agreement in that context has been very difficult. And I want to acknowledge the pain that families have suffered from the layoffs, and I also want to thank those that continue to work. More is required of each of them because much of the demand for those services remains. So I want to thank them. I want to thank COPIA for their good partnership, great partnership in working on these difficult issues at this time, and again, thank HR for your great work. Aye. Approved. Now we will go to... Oh, while you're here, sorry. Do you know, can you speak to 1409 really quickly? We already read it.
We did, yeah. The HR Administrative 603 carryover for those employees.
Okay, is it a quick one?
It's very quick, yes.
Okay, great.
Really quick, thank you.
So we are considering first reading of an ordinance, item number 1409.
Yes, thank you. Anna Canwood, Assistant Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. This ordinance is the last of the carryover, vacation carryover ordinances that resulted out of the city's implementation of SAP, our integrated software program. As you know, I came before you probably 2 years ago to request vacation carryover for the employees who had been assigned to the project through the end of fiscal year 2010. The city allows vacation carryover max up to 2 years, but we have remaining three employees, two of whom are actually on now work for the Enterprise Business System Division, and one, Norma Romero, who is the payroll supervisor, and their managers requested I bring this ordinance to you. The employees are involved in very critical work in terms of handling the tickets and other issues that have arisen from implementation and really have not been able to significantly impact their vacation. And the managers do understand that 2011 is it. If they cannot, you know, use the vacation, then it will be lost at the end of 2011. So that's what I asked for, is the 1 year carryover for just these three employees.
Questions from council? Thank you. Anyone wish to testify on item number 1409? All right. This moves to a second reading next week. Carla, can you please read?
Did you want to take our communications person?
Oh, yes, sir. We'll, unless there are objections from council, suspend the rules to hear again item number 1378, communications. Can you please read the title?
Request of Willie C. Jones to address council regarding how the city tows cars and how blacks are not part of the Portland art system.
Mr. Jones, hi, welcome. Please come forward, have a seat. You just need to give us your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will help you count down your 3 minutes, right on that big hunk of wood in front of you there. Glad you're here.
Morning. It's nice to see you guys again. Am I talking about my car, or am I talking about the art? Oh, good. I was visiting, which is most important to me, elderly couple. One's in their early 80s, one in their late 70s. And I visit them often. They don't have a lot of visitors. Their sound of mind in there, they make more sense to me. While I was in the house, my car got towed. We was on one of my normal things, and they wrote me a ticket for blocking their driveway, which is partially an inactive driveway. Now, they do have a vehicle equipped with ramps and stuff, but it's rarely used. I take them to the hospital, or I take them to the whatever they got to do. Anyway, I think what I'm objecting to is the way that it was done. You know, I love the idea that when we have problems in the community, the city flood the neighborhood with resources. I think it's a policy that's well worth keeping up. I think it works well. Although I do think it do need a little fine-tuning. You know, it would have took them 30 seconds to get out of their car or whatever they was doing, knock on the door, and inquire. And I think it would have alleviated all the stress that was around this toy. We went down to the towing yard that night, got the vehicle back, because there's a $50 a day storage fee for a vehicle. So it was important financially to go down there and get it that night. But I was hanging. I'm a 20-year retired veteran. When I drive, I hang my disability sticker in it. Now, you know, if you tow cars with these things hanging in them, you don't know what kind of predicament you're putting people in. You know, I could have been severely handicapped. But even so, I think that the system's great. I think it works well, and I'm applauding it. But it does need a little fine-tuning. This caused a lot of stress, and so it could have been alleviated in 5 minutes.
Right. Did we normally those...
yes, sir.
Normally, enforcement of that is done on a complaint basis. Has Grace, and upstairs we were looking into it when you talked to me about it, I think last week. Have we gotten back to you yet? She was trying to find out if how it came to our attention that your car was in the driveway, and did somebody complain, or has she gotten back to you yet?
I was trying not to go there. No, sir, she haven't.
Okay. Your intentions are absolutely spot on, good, and I'm interested in finding out how we can support you in your efforts to look after this couple. And I know you, and you're a great person and involved in the community. So I'd like to find out how this came about and see what we can do to make sure that it, that you have the opportunity to help this couple again.
Mayor, I don't think it's the couple that I'm addressing.
I'm
addressing
about you.
The public, humanitarian, the service to the community. Sometimes you can do the best you can, but if your attitude and your work come out to be looked at as a negative thing, then all of your efforts, all of your time, your material, it just goes awry.
Yeah, I agree. So if you could stop upstairs and check in with Grace, or I can have her come down, because...
No, sir, I'd be happy to go up. I'm sure you guys have plenty to do.
So, Mr. Brown, you were going to talk about your art, too.
I'm sorry?
You were going to talk about your art.
Oh. I'm curious. Love talking about myself. my art is not in the mainstream yet. I turned out to be an artist by accident. People were buying my stuff and reselling it. I've had people steal my stuff, which is a compliment. But there's a lot of resources that the city has. There's a lot of programs that the city not only finance, but they back fully. And that's a wonderful thing. But somehow I've been missing through the computers, through the communication era. I miss it. So I'm attempting to get into the communication flow to be in the know of what's going on, what's available, the grants, the shows, the annual, biannual events, whatever the city has around art. Communication-wise, I am missing it. And me being an artist commercially is an accident.
You know, Mayor Adams has, who is it in your office?
Carrie.
Carrie
gave me a call a couple of days ago.
Good.
And I understand part of what you might be looking for is affordable workspace. And so we're looking at...
Like I said, it was an accident. I didn't plan on being an artist, but...
It found you.
You're right. And the resources that I had around my lifestyle, I've outgrown that.
Okay.
So now I don't have the luxury of being bogged down in a system where I have to fill out a mile of forms, the process for those forms. So I'm trying to kind of like leapfrog my way into something that's turned out to be a very pleasant journey so far.
Well, Carrie's a great persistent fellow, and we'll continue to make sure that we make you aware of all the opportunities and provide whatever assistance we can. And I'd encourage you to take him up as well on the offer to go take a look at Milepost 5 in terms of really, really affordable performance artistic space. You might not like it, but I encourage you to take a look at it.
I saw a beautiful old firehouse, about 3-4 stories. City don't want to take care of that. I could do that for them. It'll take a load off you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you
your testimony.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. All right. Carla, can you please read emergency ordinance item number 1405?
Dedicate funds for shelter and services for victims of human trafficking.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I'm extremely proud to bring this ordinance forward today. Policymakers on all levels are grappling with human trafficking. It's a troubling issue that is happening right here in Portland and in Oregon. While we are blessed with dedicated social service staff, advocates, volunteers, and elected officials, we are constantly trying to catch up to the problem. This ordinance will help us do exactly that. Catch up with the Johns and the pimps, and cripple their ability to victimize children and women. This sends a powerful message that we are not going to allow them to keep committing these atrocities. We need to hold pimps and Johns accountable and take the very tools that they use to victimize women and children. The ordinance in front of you would allow the city to use assets forfeited from prostitution crimes and direct them to services for victims of human trafficking. We will have the ability to seize any items or proceeds that are used or derived from prostitution crimes, such as cell phones, cars, computers, and cash. Those assets will then be directed towards funding for victims of human trafficking. 75% of those funds will be used for victim and shelter services, and this could include funding for victim advocates, medical services, the operation of a safe house, and any number of things that a victim needs to become a survivor. The remaining 25% will be used by law enforcement to continue their trafficking-related missions and investigations. The Portland Police Bureau has been doing a stellar job on its work on human trafficking, and the forfeiture assets will continue these efforts. As I've been working on this issue, time and time again, I keep hearing that we need funding for shelter and victim services. We're not guaranteeing that these forfeitures will be the solution to all the funding needs, but this will be the city's first sustainable funding stream dedicated to combat human trafficking. The dollar value of a cell phone or a computer may not be substantial, but all of those phone numbers, addresses, and names could be invaluable information for law enforcement. To further our efforts to increase our forfeiture activities, the City Council just, 2 weeks ago, approved hiring an outside counsel to work exclusively on forfeiture cases. So we expect the number of prostitution cases that we'll be able to do these forfeitures on will conceivably grow. The state has also been making changes to asset forfeiture laws, and this ordinance complies with all those procedures. The City Attorney's Office will review the implementation and will bring forward some administrative language to Council in the next couple weeks to fully implement this ordinance. And with that, I am pleased to welcome our guest who we've invited to testify, County Commissioner Diane McKeel. I don't see Judge Nan Waller unless... Jerry Williams, who works for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and is herself a survivor of human trafficking. Esther Nelson with the Sexual Assault Resource Center. Mark McKechnie, the Juvenile Rights Project, Executive Director. Oh, yeah, we need an extra chair. Sorry.
Welcome.
Mr. McKeel.
Thank you very much. Good morning to all of you. I want to begin by thanking Commissioner Salzman, Mayor Adams, and the rest of the council for having me here today. This is a great step forward on the continuum towards ending trafficking in our region. This passage of this ordinance is clearly a very important action being taken today by the City Council. The broader importance of this ordinance can be seen from the perspective of the multi-governmental collaborative process that we have cultivated between our jurisdictions in an effort to combat this growing problem in Portland, Multnomah County, and Oregon. On the federal level, Senator Wyden has passed legislation through the Senate that he would create a system for developing safe shelters across the nation. He has already secured $900,000 in funding for a shelter here in Portland. Thanks to the leadership of Representatives Barton, Smith, and Tomei, each business in Oregon that sells alcohol has received or will soon receive a sticker with the National Trafficking Hotline meant to be displayed visibly for customers and employees. For the upcoming legislative session, Our state representatives are looking for more ways to improve state statute to increase punishment for offenders and better protect victims from abuse. Finally, starting in January, Multnomah County will be offering a one-day treatment program for those caught buying or attempting to buy sex. Based off of similar successful models in San Francisco and Seattle, this course will reduce recidivism for purchasers of sex, as well as educate them on the consequences of their actions. Proceeds will be dedicated to victim services and treatment, as well as law enforcement and training. As you can see, this is a collaborative process that is moving quickly. For an issue that few understood or recognized in our region only a few short years ago, we have made great strides in addressing it. Still, we have much work to do. I would like to thank the City of Portland for taking this important step today, and I look forward to continuing to work with you to end human trafficking in our region. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And we also want to thank you for your outstanding leadership on this issue. Esther?
Sure. Hi. First, I'd like to thank you for prioritizing this need in our community. What we know about the trauma response experienced by sex trafficking survivors is that if we can address that need quickly. What,
can you give your name and your affiliation?
Sorry. Sorry. Esther Nelson, Sexual Assault Resource Center. I'm a case manager for sexually exploited youth there. Thank you. What we know about trauma response is that if you can address the need quickly in an emergency fashion, responding usually within the first hour after someone's been identified, you can greatly reduce those long-term reactions. You can reduce the incidence of post-traumatic stress disorder in those survivors. And so we really feel strongly that having advocacy and having services, having law enforcement be able to respond quickly to those needs is very vital to their long-term healing process. So we're appreciative of you prioritizing this need. At SARC, we are already at capacity in serving survivors. We are currently serving about 150 survivors on our caseload, and we are no longer able to accept more into our program. We're working nights and weekends, just donating our time, and we're unable to probably bring in any more currently into our program. So I think it's great to see that this resource is now out there because clearly there's a need that we're addressing, but we're needing to have more resources to back up those services at this point for advocacy, for shelter staff, and as well as for law enforcement. So I'm so appreciative that we're thinking about sustainable funding streams. That's the way I think we're going to address this issue long term, not just right now. So thank you for that.
We'll go with Mark. Maybe you can slide the microphone stands down a little bit.
The block moves.
Yeah, the whole.
That makes it easy. Good morning, Mayor Adams, commissioners. My name is Mark McKechnie. I am the executive director of the Juvenile Rights Project. JRP has been in Portland since 1975. We started as a program of Multnomah Legal Aid Services, and we became an independent nonprofit organization in 1985. Over those years, we've represented tens of thousands of children in Multnomah County, including children in foster care and youth in the juvenile delinquency system. We have worked with and represented a fair number of youth who've unfortunately been involved in commercial sexual exploitation, and they've been treated in different ways, both as children in need of protection by the child welfare system and criminally through the delinquency system. I would point out that one of the very attractive features of this ordinance is beginning to clarify what I see as confusion between the way we view and treat victims of sex trafficking. We need to be much more clear that they are victims. They have been treated more often as criminals and juveniles treated as delinquents. I think it's important for the city to take a clear stand on how these individuals will be viewed and treated and it's the appropriate way to treat them as victims, to protect them and support them and help them escape the exploitation that they're suffering. And we particularly want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this proposal forward. I think the other great thing about this ordinance is beginning to provide sorely needed revenue that's been lacking to serve victims of sex trafficking. And I think that is one reason why